Awesome. Last night, we were doing an outreach in downtown Toronto. We saw 250 Jewish people give their lives to Jesus. And so it was a pretty exciting night last night. Got to bed late and got up early and drove here, Port Burwell. And I would just remember, my dad grew up in Ridgetown, and my uncle lived in Tilsonburg. So I kind of know this area. I pastored in Kitchener-Waterloo for 6 years before moving out to Calgary. When we were moving out to Calgary, they thought we were moving to Calvary, and they thought we were going to see Jesus. But I said, no, we're going to Calgary. We're going to see cowboys and get to go to the Stampede and those kinds of things. This morning, I'm going to share a little bit about rebuilding the biblical family. But before we do, I just want to show you a picture of my family. And this is my wife, Annette, as she's holding little Juniper there. And then I've got Jude. Oh, back one up there. And then we've got Candace with her son, Nathan, and her husband, Mike. And then Chantel and Caleb and Braden. And then our youngest daughter, Cassie, and her husband, Jorge. And those two little ones are theirs. And so being a grandpa is really, really good. And then on the now you can show that next slide. This is little baby Jude. And I was traveling to Kindersley, Saskatchewan to preach and do some a seminar there. And about 4:30, quarter to 5, our daughter called us on a little group FaceTime. So we all have iPhones, so we could see all these little Brady Bunch pictures. And there in the middle was little Jude. And if you go to the next slide, That day, I was able to write a blessing card for Jude that I sent to my daughter to read over my grandson. And Jude means son of praise. And Alexis means defender of others. And then I really got choked up because they said, you've got Neil, which means champion of men. And my daughter said, Dad, we wanted to name him after you because you are a champion of men. And that kind of choked me up a little bit because I wasn't there to hold little Jude that day. But then I wrote this little blessing. I said, Jude, we bless your gender as a boy. We bless your identity as a child of God and as a son of praise. We bless your destiny to be defender and champion of men. And the verse of scripture that the Lord gave me for him was, For I formed you in your innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe that every child, that in their name is their identity and their destiny. That maybe, you know, you were named after Uncle Peter or Uncle Abe or somebody else, but you're carrying on a generational tradition, and that each one of your names, and God knows your name, God knit you and he formed you in your mother's womb. And so we have an opportunity to bless the identity. Even Jesus on his birth, the angels sang, and they sang, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And, you know, there's a celebration when little babies are born, and we just had another one born, and I know the pastor, and there are families, he's going to be a grandma and grandpa pretty soon, I hear, so that's the best thing about being a grandfather, and you can just send them home. But they always bring them over when they're tired, and so, you know, grandpa's job is to put them to sleep. And just in case you're not a grandpa yet, I've got a secret that works, is you get a blanket, and you wrap yourself up in that blanket with that little child, and you rock him in the rocking chair, and you sing in that low voice. Yes, Jesus, go to sleep, loves you. And it works every time. You know, usually I fall asleep before they do, but that's kind of the way it is. A little bit about our ministry. We kind of have two streams. We have what we call the Family Dream Institute. And all of the resources on the Family Dream Institute are free. I should have had a QR code up there, but you can go to the familydreaminstitute.ca. And we have resources for parents on how to bless their children, how to raise kids. We've got different resources, how to do father-son rite of passages and all kinds of stuff. Is that video going to work this time? Okay, so this is a video. The other part of our ministry is Family Foundations Canada, and we do seminars where we have video teaching and then small group ministry, and this is some testimonies from that.
When you come to a seminar, you're going to receive exceptional teaching, but it goes way beyond that. You're going to receive transformation.
God's Spirit will begin to speak to you in ways he's never spoken to you before. You'll hear at a level you never heard before. You'll know yourself like you've never known yourself before, and the Christ that's within you.
Sometimes we have burdens and things that we're carrying we don't even know. But when we come to a place like this, we receive light and we receive truth, and we are set free.
It's not so much about a seminar, it's about an experience, to experience the heart of the Father. We want everybody to know, I have a Father in heaven who loves me, and he has this amazing ability to separate identity from behavior. It may be what I did, but it's not who I am. And the Father loves us.
What this experience does, it reacquaints you with the Holy Spirit. It reconnects you to the Holy Spirit. And even in ministry, we can just get so busy caring for others, caring for our children, caring for others, that we forget that God wants to take care of us.
Don't be afraid to come. It's a place that you can just come, and even if you don't feel that you can open your heart, God will open your heart.
You can just go to the next slide. One of the things that that we do in that is that what we found is that all of us come from families, and many times we pick up hurts and wounds along the way, and those things affect us as parents and how we raise our kids or as grandparents. And so in these different seminars, we deal with things like overcoming anger, dealing with the root of shame that is in people's lives. And we also teach in the other seminar, Blessing Generations, what are the seven critical times of blessings? We're going to talk about a couple of them tonight. But what happens if you weren't blessed at those times is oftentimes the enemy plants a lie in your heart. And we are able to minister and pray with people to experience the love and forgiveness of the Father. The other thing that we've just started up this past September is the Mighty Man Network. I've actually been doing my doctoral thesis at Trinity Western University. And my question was, what are men doing to disciple their families? And then the second question is, what is the church doing to equip them to fulfill their mission? Because the statistics show us that 85% of young people that attend a church growing up, that by the time that they're in their 20s and 30s, oftentimes they're leaving the church. And the number one determining factor for them staying in the church and having a living, active faith in the Lord is a father's blessing. And then a mother's blessing. Then a grandfather's blessing, that's the good news. And then a pastor with a father's heart. Because we reflect the image of God to our children. And our Father is a loving Heavenly Father. And I was preaching at my church on Easter weekend. Easter weekend's coming up. We'd always have a big pancake breakfast, and we were inner city Calgary, and so we'd have a big pancake breakfast, invite all the kids, invite everybody in the neighborhood. And then I'd preach on an Easter theme about Jesus rising from the dead and stuff. And we had a lot of people come from the community. They would come on that. And I remember this time that we're kind of got the stairs and, shaking people's hands like you do as a pastor, shaking these hands. And this little girl looks way up, and she goes, "Are you Jesus?" And I'm not Jesus, but I may be the only Jesus that little girl's ever going to see. You see, our hearts reflect the image of God, and we reflect that to our kids. And so the Mighty Man Network is designed to equip men and equip churches to be able to disciple the men in the church so that they in turn can disciple the families that are in our churches. So what is the biblical family? I believe that the family is the foundational institution of a society ordained by God. The family serves as a crucial part of God's kingdom plan for discipleship of the next generation. The family is the means by which God communicates and preserves his truth and expands his kingdom throughout the earth. The home is the place where these truths are to be lived out and to be taught to our children. I ask this question all over the world whenever we speak, But I just want to ask this congregation, because you know this is a great place. Love this little town. And I, what I didn't know is that you guys live right near the Garden of Eden, Pastor. I drove through Eden today. And then I drove through Corinth, you know, and, you know, like, this is really like Bible Holy Land around here, you know. I just thought, well, this is a pretty good place. And so I'm sure that you guys know the answer to this question, but how many here, you were born from parents? Okay, three quarters of you. I don't know. I don't know about the rest, but, you know, I was speaking in a church in Singapore one time, and I asked that, and the translator looked at me and goes, "What did you just say?" But, you know, God gave us parents, and God made us parents so that we could reflect the image of God to our children. And, but there has been a deconstruction of the family in Canada. The way that they deconstruct the family is by redefining what family is. When I was growing up in Southern Ontario in the Trenton Belleville area, 85% of my generation attended some form of Sunday school. They would go to the United Church or to the Catholic Church, or they would go to a Mennonite church or a Free Methodist church or whatever church that they would. 85%. Today, less than 15% of people go to church. Less than 5% of children are connected to any kind of church in Canada. You see, the world has changed in 60 years. But I believe that what God is doing here in this congregation and what God is doing in other congregations around is that He is rebuilding the biblical family. So some of the things that we're seeing in Canada is that we're seeing a shift in biblical values. One of the values that we have shifted from is the value of covenant marriage. Marriage was designed by God to be between one man and one woman until death do us part. And it's a covenant relationship. And what that means is that the Bible says that when a man and woman come together, they become one flesh. And together, a mother and a father reflect the image of God to their sons and their daughters. But what happens when that relationship is broken? It opens a door over a generation. And as I work with young people and as I work with children across this nation, we see the destruction that happens when families break up. But when families stay together, there's actually a hedge of protection around those children. And when there is a community of covenant marriages in a community, what happens is you have a safe place to raise your children because you have people that have similar values and similar beliefs and similar faith in God. But what's happening in Canada is that 65%, 65 out of 100 people by the time they graduate from high school won't have both of their parents married or living together. So if marriage is a covenant protection around the family, let's just pretend that we just knock down 65% of the walls here, like especially where those windows are, we knock those down. And then what happens is that the enemy comes in. The Bible says the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. So when there's no covenant protection around a community or no covenant protection around a marriage, the enemy has free access into our families. And that's why we're seeing the deconstruction or the deconstruction of the families, because we've abandoned those values. Now, maybe you come from a broken family. Maybe you come from a divorce situation. Well, I'm here to say that God still loves you, and that we all come from different backgrounds and different things, and that grace forgives us for whatever sin that happens in our lives. And sometimes it wasn't even something that you did. It just happened to you. So I'm here to say that God is a loving Father, that He will work. But that is God's ideal plan, and that we can work that together. Another area where the deconstruction of the family is happening is in gender. Gender neutrality actually robs families of the image of God. Because the Bible is clear that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. So I'm not saying that God is a woman, but God, the father heart of God reflects the image of God, and it's reflected in a husband and wife. The Bible says in His Psalms that God gathers us together like a mother hen and a chick. See, that's the loving aspect. And sometimes all we've ever heard about is the judgmental, He's the Father. But Jesus came to show us the Father. Did you know that God is only referenced 13 times in the Old Testament as Father? But in the New Testament, Jesus talks about God as Father 150 times, and he talks about him being your Father 30 times because he is a good, good Father. And Jesus came to show us the Father, and that we need to embrace that image of the Father. Again, when I was growing up, tolerance meant that we respected other people's views. I was talking with these folks down here, the sort of the Christian Reform view on justified by faith or versus predestination. But we can still respect both. We can respect both views. We are not. I can say, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that view, but I respect that view. And there was a time when we did respect people's views, but now there's a place where it's tolerance doesn't mean respecting what other people believe, but it's approving their lifestyle and their beliefs. So that's a big difference, approving somebody's lifestyle if they're living in an adulterous relationship or if they're living in a same-sex relationship. And approving that is because they want you to justify how they're living their life. But we can still love them because here's what God does is God separates identity from behavior. Just like when your kids do something wrong, you don't kick them out of the family. It's like, yeah, you're not part of the Campbell family anymore. You know, go live on the streets. No, you love your kids, but there's a consequence to their choices. And so there's always consequences to people's choices. And so we just need to love people, tell people the truth in love, and they have to live with the choices that they make. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, they have exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. And so what we see in Canada today is that right has become wrong and wrong has become right. And the government and the education system have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The question is, if they say a lie often enough, does it become a truth? Well, it might become their truth, but it's not God's truth. See, God's word never changes. God's standards and God's ideals for our lives never changes. And so we need to filter through this book the truth of God in our lives. So why has there been such a big shift in values? One of the reasons is because of social media. Education and government are promoting different lifestyles that are not biblical and actually anti-God. And so we live in a post-truth age where everybody's truth is their own. There's no absolutes that exist. And there's something called a meme. You young guys down here, like, do you know what a meme is? Yeah, you know what a meme is, right? So a meme is some information that comes on an app or a picture or on TikTok or on, I don't even know what other things they got out there, Instagram, like it's this little meme of information. Now, I don't know exactly what a meme is. These guys are way smarter than me. But I know that 25 million is a big number. And so by the time these guys reach the age of 12, they will have seen 25 million memes of information, and most of it is unbiblical, ungodly, and it is shaping their worldview. It's shaping our worldview. I read some research recently that 85% of Christians have a pluralistic worldview. What that means is that Christians have accepted the gospel message that Jesus is their Savior, that he died for their sins, and they've come into a personal relationship with him, but they don't necessarily believe that they need to live a biblical lifestyle. There's many Christians today that, rather than getting married, for example, they live together because they want to test it and try it out. Or they said, it's okay for me to smoke marijuana or cannabis now because it's legal. Well, just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And so there's all kinds of things that we need to understand is that we have been called to be a holy people set apart unto God, so that we can have a personal relationship with him. And here's the thing is that we don't need to know, we don't need to let those things control our lives. There's something called the law of first learning. See, when I was in university, I remember that they were talking about creation versus evolution. And I was the only person in that class that stood up and said, you know what, I believe that God created the earth in 7 days. And then he started to mock me. And he said, oh, there isn't one of those Christian people in this class, is there? And that was like 30, 40 years ago. It's 100 times worse today. When our young people go off into universities, into secular educations, they are shaped and molded. They're taught not to think. They're taught to believe the world system. So what we need to do is we need to teach our kids the Bible and understand what a biblical worldview is. Because you see, the battle is between two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. I was in a Sunday school, I was in a church speaking in Calgary a few years ago, and I saw this sign down in the children's department. And it talked about a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. And really, there's two worldviews. It's really a battle of worldviews. It's the kingdom of Jesus, and it's the kingdom of this world. And we know who the ruler of this world is. It's Satan and his forces. And he is actually out to rob, kill, and destroy a generation of their identity, their destiny, and their gender. But there is a gospel of freedom. It's called the kingdom of light. And that Jesus said that when we follow after his, that we will have life and life more abundant. And that's what Jesus has called us to. So what's a parent supposed to do? You know, what are we supposed to do in this post-Christian, post-modern world where there's so much information coming at our kids? 25 million memes. 25 million, that's a lot. A whole generation is being brainwashed. Well, God has a plan. We need to focus on discipleship of families. The family must be the base of all church ministries. You know, this church has a youth ministry, it has a men's ministry, it has a women's ministry. All of those are important, but the family is the foundation of all ministries, because that's the way God made it. You know, I was reading in my Bible in January 2023, and this verse of scripture came to me, and it says, "You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have." You see, Goshen is a safe place. When Egypt was, when Joseph had become the ruler of Egypt because there was a famine in the land and he had interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Joseph was put in charge of everything, and his 11 brothers and his dad and everybody, they were all back in Palestine. They were back in Israel. And they came up into Egypt, and they were to live there because Joseph was going to feed them and take care of them during the famine. But they put him in a place called Goshen. And Goshen is a safe place. You see, we need to be in the world, but not of it. Goshen is a safe place. And what the Lord was showing me is that there are places like this church that are a safe place to raise your children, a safe place to raise your family. Got a Christian school. I was talking to these, Emily. I was talking to Emily, and I was talking to these boys over here. And they go to the Christian school over here. And Christian schools are amazing because they're getting a biblical worldview that are being taught to them. So it becomes their foundation, becomes their filter, because they're not always going to live here. They might move to the dreaded Toronto or someplace else, you know, where they're going to be influenced by a lot of stuff. But if their foundation is Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him, they're going to be able to stand. So Goshen is a safe place. Egypt in the Bible is always kind of referencing the world. Now, there have been churches and church movements throughout history that have taken that idea of Goshen and felt, well, the only way that we can raise our children and worship God the way we want to is that we come together in a place and we live in a community. And a lot of you folks are from Mennonite background. And so there was Mennonite communities or Mennonite colonies. The original purpose of those was to be a safe place in the midst of of the world. And then they were persecuted out of Europe, and they came over to North America, South America, and different places to raise their families in freedom so that they could raise them the way they want. I'm working with several different organizations, and one of our four pillars is that parents have a right to raise their children the way that they want. And in Alberta, we've had some influence on the Premier of Alberta, and she has said that there will be no trans surgeries in Alberta and no affirmation of them until after they reach the age of 18. Because, you see, children don't have the capacity to make those choices for themselves. Parents have a responsibility to raise their children in the ways of the Lord, and when a child is 18, they can make their own choices. But before then, we're going to raise them and we're going to protect them. And so we're trying to work with governments because I get phone calls all the time about different things where parents, their children are being taken out of their homes. And so we're fighting for families. We're building Goshens, places where people can be safe and where people can be sound. So the family, first and foremost, was created to be a discipleship center. And the early church met in families. They met in homes. And, you know, then they would come and they would gather on Sunday and they would worship together in a maybe a big house like this. And, you know, Paul would get there preaching and somebody would be sitting in the window and he fell out and dropped dead, and Paul had to heal him and raise him from the dead. But most of what happened happened in community. It happened in the family. It happened in the church. And a friend of mine from Alain Caron in Gatineau, Quebec, he said that the family is the smallest apostolic outpost of the kingdom. So the way that we raise our kids and the way we train them in our families is the way that they're going to turn out. Hey, it's great to have a good school, great church, good youth programs, all that stuff, but bottom line is families is what makes the difference. The biblical purpose of parenting and grandparenting is to impress the hearts of our children with the love of the Father. It's to impress them with the love of the Father. I was preaching in Kona, Hawaii several years ago, and the pastor was a Samoan, and he said, Neil, he said, I want you to know is that we think in generationally, and that each one of us touches seven people, or seven generations. He said, I'm in the middle, and then there's my father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather. And then there's my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. And so I can span, my life can span seven generations. So what have I learned from my great-grandfather, from my grandfather, from my father? And what can I pass on to my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren? You see, there's a generational responsibility for us as parents to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord. Because, you know, as good a pastor that you have, he's not going to be there for your family for seven generations. But you will be there because you're able to touch seven generations of people. And so God has designed the family to bring multi-generational faith and multi-generational blessing to the next generation. In January last year, 2023, I discovered in November that I had 100% blockage in my main aorta in my heart. And so I was the first person in Alberta to receive laparoscopic bypass surgery. So what they did is they just did a little cut right here, deflated my lung, and rerouted the pulmonary artery down to the bottom of that main artery. And I was out of the hospital in 4 days and on the treadmill in 5 days and preaching in 3 weeks. But before we had that surgery on a Wednesday, we had a family gathering with my family, a picture that you saw up there. Gathered all my kids and my grandkids. Because there was a chance that the surgery might not go right and I might pass away. In fact, a very close friend of mine, a pastor in Barrie, Ontario, he had three stints put in about a month ago and he passed away 2 weeks ago and it just had the funeral for him. So you just never know. So I sat down with my kids and with my family at the dinner table and I said, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. My 12-year-old grandson said, how much you leaving me, Dad, Grandpa? How much you leaving me, Grandpa? And I said, what I want to leave you with, Caleb, is I want to leave you with a favorite memory that I have about you. And I want to leave you with a scripture, and I want to bless you. And I went around the table, and I knelt down in front of each of my kids, in front of each of my grandkids, and my 16-year-old grandson, Nathan, who's playing hockey for the Kamloops Blazers, he just couldn't stop crying for the next 2 hours. Because Nathan and I have a great relationship. He calls me or texts me every day. And he just couldn't bear the thought that he might lose his grandpa. He went home that day and he called up Granny and said, just tell grandpa that I really love him and that he better not die. Well, I didn't die, but I wanted to leave a legacy for my children. I wanted to leave a memory. I wanted to leave a blessing, because you just never know. The Bible says, if we don't disciple your children, the world will do it for you. And here's how we disciple. He says, I give you these commandments I give you today to be on your hearts, to impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So really, we're to talk about Jesus all the time with our kids. That doesn't mean we're preaching at them all the time. But when you're out fishing with your grandson, you're talking about Jesus. And you're talking about hockey and other stuff as well. You're talking about character. You're talking about those things. Because if we don't disciple them and teach them the right way, the enemy will come and teach them his way. And we have to lay that foundation for another generation. And so that's how we do it. Now, primarily, I want to speak to men this morning, but I'm also speaking to moms and dads, or moms and grandmas and grandpas, single people, kids. I'm talking to everybody. But I believe that as men, God has called us to be the prophet, priest, and king of our home. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. So when you hear the word king, that doesn't mean, you know, put another log on the fire, cook me up some bacon and some beans, and then come on over here and tell me why you don't love me anymore. That's not what that's about. A godly husband is going to love his wife like Christ loves the church. And he's going to fill these three roles of being prophet, priest, and king. And so how do I fulfill that role? That's maybe just for the pastor. That's his job. No, it's our job as priests of our home to be the prophet, priest, and king in our homes. Whoops. And the role of prophet is to pray daily for your family and stand in the gap. And in the Mighty Man Network, what we really encourage men to do is to read the Word every day for at least 5 minutes, write down what God has just spoke to you and talked to you about, and then pray for your family through that scripture. Because when we do that, we're laying a foundation. Because I'll tell you what, I blew it as a dad. I was a pastor and I was the leader and I was doing all this stuff, and I wasn't always the perfect dad. But what I did every day is I did pray for my kids and I did read the Word every day. And so we need to stand in the gap. And then our role as priest in the family is to lead our family spiritually. And in my research, what I found is that 85% of men are doing nothing to disciple their children. And the reason that they're not doing is, first, they don't have a vision for it. They don't understand it's their mission. It's actually every man's mission to disciple their family. It's every man's mission to teach them, train them, and bless them. God spoke about it in Deuteronomy, and I believe that Jesus commissioned us as with the Great Commission to make disciples. And so you're having a baptismal class, and you know, you've got teaching here and everything else, but men, as dads, what are we doing to impart into our children? One of the things you can do is you can just start by having a family meal together once a week where you teach, train, and bless your kids. I was in Israel several years ago, and they have, in the Jewish culture, they have a Shabbat. So Shabbat is from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. So it's for a 24-hour period. And you're not supposed to do any work or do anything. And you have a family meal together. And so we were invited to this Shabbat. And it was kind of on this roof, flat roof, probably about as big as this church almost. There's like 40 people up there. And we're all up there. And What the rabbi or the dad would do is he would just kind of share a scripture, read a scripture, and then he would look and he would bless each one of his children and bless his wife. Bless his wife first and then bless each one of his children. It's powerful. And so what we just teach parents to do is if you just had a family meal once a week and you just shared one thing that you learned this week. You know, when I was reading my Bible this week, you know, I read this about being honest or whatever it is that God shows you, and then you just share that with your family, ask them some questions, and then bless them. And that's just once you can do that a week. But on an ongoing basis, you can teach, train, and bless your children. Can you say teach? Can you say train? Can you say bless? If you don't remember anything that I tell you today, this is the blueprint for being a good dad or a good mom. It's to teach, train, and bless. And you teach them by your example. It's not how much you say, but it's how much they watch you. So every morning at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, my kids know that I was going to be reading the words. Now, none of my kids live with me anymore. My grandkids don't live with me. But almost every morning, I send a text to Nathan and Caleb. They're my two oldest grandsons. They're 14 and almost 17. I'll send them a text with a scripture verse. This is what Grandpa was reading today. And then I'll just have a quick little prayer. It'll just be like three sentences long, because they don't read any more than that. Three sentences, you know. And then I say, give me a thumbs up. And so I teach them by my example, and then I train them in the ways of the Lord. And then I bless them. And one of the examples that we use is driving a car. Anybody, you guys got your driver's license? Grade 9 now. Well, in Alberta, you can get your learner's at 14. Okay, so you get your learner's license at 14. So each of my three daughters got their learner's license at 14. And then, but first they watched dad drive for 14 years of their life. You know, how they watched how I drive, and then I trained them. I said, here's how you gas up, here's how you change the windshield, here's how you change a tire, here's the rules of the road, and do all that stuff. And on their 16th birthday, they would get their driver's license. And so they'd go to AMA, and they would take the AMA training, and they get their driver's license. So you teach them, you train them, but then you want to bless them. Now, in Calgary, a lot of people, their kids will get their driver's license at 16, and then they'll say, well, you can't drive till you're 18. Well, why did I get my driver's license when I'm 16? It's because parents think, well, I just can't trust them because, you know, there's all kinds of bad people out there. But what we have to do is we have to bless them. And blessing means to empower to prosper them, so I have to give them the keys to the car. Just put it by my back. You give them the keys to the car, that's empowering them to prosper, okay? So you're empowering them, so you're blessing them. So in whatever way and whatever thing that you're doing is, a lot of times as dads, we're always correcting our kids, but what we need to do is we need to come down to their level and just say, Emily, I just want you to know that you are precious. And that you're valuable, and that you have a plan, that God has a plan for your life, and that you're a woman of destiny. And I bless you today. How'd that feel? Does that feel good? See, when you bless your kids, you're getting to their hearts. Because that's what Deuteronomy said. It says we've got to reach their hearts. And what I found, the difference between religion and relationship with Jesus is the heart. A lot of you might have come out of religion. You knew all the rules. In our church, it was you don't smoke, you don't drink, and you don't go with girls that do. You know, that was kind of the rules that, you know, I kind of grew up with. And those are good rules. But I did all those bad things because Jesus didn't have my heart. And so what we want to do is we want to impart the heart of the Father to our children. And what I found is that blessing is the key that unlocks the destiny of our children and our grandchildren, is because when we bless them, we are working to unlock something in their lives. So we teach them. You teach your children. I got a picture of a dad, you know, teaching his son how to shave, you know, you teach them. They watch you shave, and they see you doing that, and then they, hey, you want to try it, son? Of course, you give them a razor without blades first, and then, you know, they give it a try. And then you bless them. You say, you know what? One day you're going to have hair on your face. and you're going to need to shave. Now, I see a few bearded guys out here, but that's okay. I used to have a beard back in the day. And then train. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I heard an old preacher once time unpack that, and he said, it actually means train up a child in the way that he should think. Train up a child in the way he should think. Because, you see, the world doesn't want your kids to think. They want them to believe what they're teaching is truth. But what we need to do is we need to teach them that this word is the foundation for their life. And that this needs to be the filter. And if what they're teaching in the world doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, then that's not the way that we're going to live our lives. Does that make sense? So we teach them how to think. And we're training up dads across Canada with a biblical worldview class because many times we don't know how to discuss these worldview issues with our kids. There are so many things that are coming at us all the time. There's just different issues every day that we have to deal with. And so we have to get into God's word, and we've got to disciple men so that they can teach their kids and say, son, this is why we don't do this. This is why we don't do that. And then bless. And blessing is a powerful impartation into their lives. In Deuteronomy 30, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness that I've set before you a choice, life or death, the blessing or the curse. So choose life for you and your descendants. I was in Cottonwood, Arizona, preaching several years ago, and I was reading this in my Bible in the hotel room, and I was getting ready to preach that Sunday morning, and the Lord just really spoke to me and showed me, give me an understanding. It says, choose this day, life or death. And God gives us choices. God loves every person on the planet. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, God loves every person on the planet, but God gives every person a choice of life or death. And here's the crazy thing, is if you do not choose life in Jesus to forgive your sins and to walk in relationship with the Father, that the consequent is death, which is eternal separation from God. Now, I don't know why. If I was God, I would have just said, I'm going to force you guys all to love me. I'm going to, but that doesn't work. You can't force somebody to love you. So God gives us a free will to choose. And then it said, so how does that relate to this? He says, choose this day, life or death, the blessing or the curse. See, God blessed Adam and Eve in the garden and said, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. And 7.5 or 8 billion people later, we're still multiplying. You know, we're fulfilling the blessing that God put on the planet. And one of the things that we've lost in our culture is the understanding of blessing. Blessing is affirming a person's identity, their value, and their worth. And blessing is something that after you've teach them, you train them, you need to bless them. And you bless their identity. You bless them as a son. You bless them as a daughter. You impart into their lives who they are. The Greek word for blessing is eulogia, where we get our English word eulogy. When do we usually give the eulogy? When do we usually give the eulogy? At the funeral. Well, if it's supposed to be a blessing, why do we give the eulogy when he's already dead? Because God wants us to bless our parents and bless others all the time. So on my dad's 70th birthday, I flew in from Calgary into Toronto and went up to Trenton. We had a birthday party for him in the basement of the church, and I read to my dad his eulogy. I read and I blessed my father for all the things that he's done in my life. My dad doesn't cry too much, but he was weeping. Give him a big hug. And each one of my kids spoke a blessing over my dad. And then on his 80th birthday, I flew back in and did it again on his 80th. My dad says, so you're going to do it on my 90th? And I says, you bet. I was just with my dad 2 days ago. He's 88 years old now. And we went out to the sugar bush. He used to have a little sugar shack out there where we make the maple syrup. And my friend was out there with the fire going, and we're sitting out there. We've got a wooden plank on the wall. My dad burned in the names of his three kids. Then he burned in the names of his grandkids. And then we burned in the names of his two great-grandkids. And then yesterday, 2 days ago, I burned in the names of Jude and Juniper. And my dad calls it the Wall of Blessing. So when he's sitting out there by the fire, he's praying blessing over his children, over his grandchildren, and now over his great-grandchildren. You see, blessing is the impartation of identity and destiny. It's teaching people about God. And then the role of father as a king, it's to be a benevolent king. It's a father that is a servant to his family and says, how can I serve my wife? How can I serve my children? How can I serve them? It's providing for them physically, and we kind of leave it there. Most men don't know how to provide for them emotionally and spiritually because as men, oftentimes we weren't blessed by our fathers. How many in this room, you had a formal blessing from your father at some point in your life? Is there anybody that's had a formal blessing? One person. That's pretty normal because, see, we've lost what blessing is. And we teach people how to bless at all those critical times. That's a whole other message. But we need to provide for them, and the reason that we can't provide for them emotionally is oftentimes there's a wound in our heart as a son. You see, when I was 8 years old, my brother and I, we lived on the military base in Trenton, my dad. And my brother fell out of the bunk beds, and he broke his glasses, and he was crying. And my dad heard, this was before my dad was a Christian, my dad heard that my brother's crying, like my dad, because he thought dad's going to kill me, you know, like broke my glasses, you know. And my dad came in, and he said, Rick out, kneel down. And my dad gave me the whooping of my lifetime. He whooped me so hard with the belts that I cried for 2 hours. I was just, and I was so angry I could have killed my dad. And for the next 15, 20 years of my life, there was this anger in me because I'd been shamed by my dad. And I walked through a process of healing when I went to an Ancient Path seminar in 1999 where I was able to forgive my father. I was able to repent for believing the lie that I was worthless and no good. I was a pastor. But I used shame and anger to control my kids and my family. I used sarcasm. I didn't beat my kids, but it was just stuff in me. And when Jesus came and he took that out of my heart, he healed me. Made me a different person. So we need to get emotionally healed so we can minister to the spiritual needs. And then our role as fathers is to protect our families. We need to Satan-proof our home because I'll tell you what, there is an enemy out there that's coming in to rob, kill, and destroy. 25 million memes of information. He's using it through school system, through Facebook, through TikTok, through everything else that's out there. He's trying to brainwash our kids to believe the truth is a lie and the lie is a truth. So what about single moms? I don't know if there's any single moms here, and I don't want you to feel bad. Or maybe you grew up in a divorced family. That's God's perfect design, but you know what? We live in a fallen world, and bad stuff happens to good people. And the Bible tells me that in Psalm 68, verses 4 to 6, it says, He is the father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families, and he leads out the prisoners with singing. And I want you to know that this church is a Goshen place, and it is a place where the lonely can come, that he puts you in this family for a reason, and that you're here to help others and to bless others. You know, my dad, they sold the farm 10 years ago where they had the maple syrup and all that kind of stuff, and my mom had a few strokes, and dad's getting older, couldn't take care of it, and he moved into town. There's a Catholic school across the parking lot of the townhouse that they live in, and so dad goes over. and says, what can I do to help? And they got a breakfast feeding program. In Trenton, fatherlessness is over 60%. A lot of military people come and go through there. Girls become unwed mothers, and there's just kids everywhere that don't have a father. And so they're feeding them, and then they said, Ralph, would you start up a reading club? Did you know that that a child that doesn't have a father is 20 times more likely not to get A's in school? Because they need that security. They need that dad to read to them in the book at night. So my dad reads to these little kids, and he's sitting there just reading to them. And he's sitting there, and they're just kind of just sitting around him. And yeah. And then little Joey looks up and says, Ralph, will you come to my hockey game on Saturday? My dad says, for sure, what time? He's playing at the Frankfurt Arena. That's the arena that I played in when I was a kid. So he gets there about 11 o'clock for the game. And there he is holding his mom's hand. I told you he'd come, Mom. I told you he'd come. There's Ralph. He's there. And my dad comes up and says, introduce himself to the mom and watches the game. Takes him out to McDonald's afterwards. Next day when he got there on the Tuesday for breakfast club, all the teachers are crying and saying, Ralph, you'll never know how much that meant to little Joey. You see, Joey's dad committed suicide 5 weeks ago. He was a drug addict. Didn't feel like his life was worth it. Abandoned his kid the worst way you can abandon a kid. My dad showed me yesterday, before I left, the cards that Joey sends him every Christmas. He's in high school now. You know, there's a lot of hurting people out there. God puts the lonely in families. And it's all about the love of the Father. So the Great Commission starts with us as parents. It just starts with us experiencing the heart of the Father in our lives so that we can then give the heart of the Father to our children and to the people that are around us. Joshua 24, verse 15 has been a life verse for my wife and I. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And today, if you're here in this place and you're saying, hey, I didn't know that that was my job description. Really, I didn't really know how to kind of disciple my own family or disciple my kids. And I want to come into a deeper relationship with the Father so that I can teach, train, and bless my kids. If you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or grandpa, one of the teens, one of the children here, and you just want to receive a father's blessing today, I'm just going to ask you to stand all over this place. And I just want to release a blessing of the Father on you. So if that's you, why don't you just stand all over this place today? Thank you, Lord. I just remembered I was preaching in a Christian Reformed church in Belleville a few years ago. Probably doing something just like this. And the night before, there was a girl that was serving at Swiss Chalet, and I just said, can I just bless you? She had tattoos and just crying, single mom. She started weeping. I said, there's a bunch of people in this church that'll love you. She came to church and got saved that day, next day. I don't know everybody here, but maybe you've never invited Jesus into your life. He loves you. And before we pray a blessing over everyone, is that me? Nope. Is my time up, sir? There you go. If that's you and you've never invited Christ into your life today, everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes. If that's you and you'd like to invite Jesus into your life today and you'd like to come into a relationship with the Father, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And just so it doesn't embarrass you, I'm going to ask everyone here to just pray that prayer. And if you pray that prayer in faith, believing, I believe this is God's appointed time for you to come into the kingdom and to come into his family. So why don't everybody just pray after me? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. Jesus came to show me the Father. And I want to come into your family today. So by faith, I repent of my sin. I invite Christ into my life and ask you to make me born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you prayed that for the first time, or maybe you prayed it again because you just want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I encourage you to talk to me or talk to your pastor or talk to somebody and just say, hey, I did that. Hey, there's all the cool young people up there. I'm just going to ask you just to hold your hands like this. You know, whenever my grandsons used to come over, they would say, up, Grandpa. And if you feel comfortable, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands to the Father. And he just wants to release a blessing over your life today. Father, I bless the young people first. Young man, I bless you. Young lady, I bless you. I bless and affirm your identity, your destiny. I bless your gender. God has a plan and God has a purpose and God has a destiny for every one of you young people. You are his son. You are his daughter. He gave you your parents because he loved you and your parents love you. For these young men and these young ladies down here, we bless you. We bless your identity. We bless your destiny. You're special. You're special. You're blessed. You are part of God's family. I bless each one of the young people from the oldest to the littlest, to the baby, to the teen, to the 20s. Lord, I bless these young people to walk in their identity as sons and daughters. And Father, I bless the men in this congregation today. Lord, I bless them to be the prophet who stands in the gap and prays for their family. Lord, I bless them to be the priest that teaches their children and their grandchildren the ways of the Lord. Lord, I bless them to be the king that shows them the love of the Father and reflects the image of God to their children. And Lord, I bless every woman that's in this house today. I bless them first as a daughter. The Lord says, you are my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. He says, it may be what happened to you, but it's not who you are. He says, you are loved and you are blessed. You are my child. You are my daughter. And I bless each woman here that you would know that you are special, that you have an identity, that you have a destiny. And I bless each mother that is here, that you would carry the heart of Mary, that mother's heart that would just love your children and teach your children and train your children and bless your children. And when you feel overwhelmed by so many kids in the family, that you would just know that you are loved and that you have an assignment and that you have a blessing. And so we bless you as a woman, and we bless the grandparents that are in this house today. We bless you to be a blessing to your children. We bless you to be a blessing to your grandchildren. We bless you to be a blessing to this congregation. We bless you to be a blessing to this community. We bless you to just flow in everything. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may the Lord's face shine upon you. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated. You know, as I'm just excited about what God's doing in this congregation. And I just hope that these words are words of encouragement to you to receive that blessing. And as you walk in the blessing and as you walk in relationship with the Father, you know, he just says, I love you. I don't think I said this in this service, but, you know, as I was just leaving yesterday, about to head to Toronto to do an outreach last night, my dad kind of walks out with me and he's got a bad leg, bad knee, and he's walking out. And he says, son, can I talk to you? I just want to talk to you for a second. And I said, okay, Dad, what? He says, God blessed his son when he was baptized, and he said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And my dad stuck out his hand, shook my hand, and said, son, I want you to know that you're my beloved son and in whom I'm well pleased. Keep going and spreading the message that you're spreading. I'm proud of you. Love, Dad. Give me a big hug. I got in the car. See a few tears in his eyes. My eyes were all red. See, it's a culture of blessing. We want to reach people's hearts. Because when we reach people's hearts, we're going to reach their souls. So thank you for the opportunity. I think the worship team is going to come, and they're going to close us in a song. So worship team, why don't you just come? And let's just worship our Father in heaven. Yeah, when I was at that Belleville church, they sang that song, Good, Good Father. I just remember that now. And I just remember that girl just had her hands up like this and said, He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. And I want you to know that God is a good father. He loves every one of you young people. He loves all you moms and dads. And He just wants to be your father. So just walk with Him. God bless you. Go ahead.